services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 171. With me this week I have, and I'm not going to do the quote by the way because I forgot to do one, Mary Lang.
Hang on, kid. This is going to get tricky.
Robert Haynes.
Listen to me. You have to run. I'm a thing. I'll kill you. Just go.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I am talking.
And Reese Barton.
Hail Caesar.
Welcome to the show. This week we're looking at the Pandorica opens and the Big Bang. And let's get straight into it, because it's a double-parter. I haven't actually written anything down, but I have only recently watched it. Who's wrote notes, by the way? Anybody?
I sort of took some notes. No. Yes. Probably not enough to review it, but I'll play it while I'm talking.
No, sorry,
I'm
just
going to. No, Matthew this morning?
No. Matthew. Remember Matthew?
Matthew.
So I'm just replacing my cushion that's pressing the heat pad against my back at the moment.
What's wrong with your back?
I lifted up a case of bananas yesterday and something didn't feel quite right.
A case of bananas, okay.
Anyway, but listen to this. This is a clicking noise, which will indicate I'm turning all volume up.
You are slipping, I guess.
What do you mean? What do you mean slipping?
You had a case of bananas. You're slipping.
Anyway, right.
When you have to explain it, Kirby, it isn't funny in the first place.
Nope.
Sorry, I just woke up.
Right, Pandorica opens with... I've forgotten. What's it open with?
It does.
Oh, yeah, they're sort of in a... No, in France.
1890.
With Vincent Van Gogh going a bit bananas, topically. And he's done a painting, which we don't get to see yet. And this painting sort of passes hands various times. And River Song is in the storm cage. Is it a storm cage, you call it? I didn't actually mention it on this episode, but it is. She cons some guard into letting her out. But I quite like the fact that he's pointing the gun at a little simple drawing of her on the wall.
Your tricks don't work in here, River Song.
Sorry, just drinking a cup of tea.
The subtitle says storm cage containment facility.
Thank you very much. And then, obviously, the Doctor and Amy. The Doctor wants to take Amy to the first place in the universe, I think it was, which oldest, is this crystal cliff oldest, or something. Oldest place in the universe.
Planet,
yeah. And on the cliff is a bit of graffiti, which for the first time is deciphered, which says, hello. Hello, sweetie. And underneath there, apparently, are coordinates. But apparently... Though that is actually in whatever language it's written in, is the Doctor's name.
It's Theta Sigma.
Theta Sigma, yes. So that was quite... I only found that out recently.
Do I get credit for that question?
No.
I think we were all on that one. The coordinates said that he said that the coordinates were Earth, Britain, 102 AN. No, PN. No, AD.
Yes, so they land in some sort of Roman sort of camp where Cleopatra, or AKA River Song.
Reese, do you have photographic memory?
I have skipped past a bit where River cons,
I think he does, Mary.
Cons Dorium out of the vortex manipulator.
I lost that scene.
Sorry, did somebody ask something then? Sorry, Mary, what were you saying?
I just wondered if Reese has photographic memory, because he's like someone else I know that can quote extensively from something they saw once.
He does, Mary.
I've seen this many times before. I've only seen it once recently.
Okay. Anyway, right. So the Doctor meets up with River, and they go on the search for this mythical Pandorica, which is hidden underneath Stonehenge.
Although it was quite clearly not the actors who are on the horses.
Okay.
That's funny. They were on the back of trucks,
if you remember.
It's so funny to see them jumping up and down on that stupid contraption.
Yeah, Matt was a bit too enthusiastic, wasn't he?
Yes.
So anyway, they go down underneath Stonehenge, where they find the Pandorica, which is opening, according to River Song, who's poking a little tricorder at it.
Which brings up a question. I have a question.
Yeah.
Maybe they said something about this in the confidential, which I didn't see. But do you notice how when the doctor says we have to go down there, it's bright daylight. And then when River Song lays her little contraption on the stone, it's midnight. It's completely dark.
I think that's because he had to find the right stone and it took him all day. That's what I say about that scene.
Yeah, you'll notice they also brought in all the torches and stuff.
Yeah,
but I mean, the very stone that he lays his head down on and says, oh, we have to go down there, is the one she lays her contraption on.
That's what she said.
Fair point.
Anyway, so... something on my tongue. So they're down with the Pandorica and...
Bananas. The last I checked.
Quiet.
Did you check?
Quiet. Anyway, so loads of aliens start turning up as River is noting on her little tricorder. And then she reels off a few names of aliens and stuff.
Zygons.
Lots of interesting Zygons. Alien names.
The first time that we heard Zygons in the news.
A deliberate sort of listing for Doctor Who fans of long. And then all this sort of end eventually results in... The doctor having a big speech to the aliens, and also Amy gets shot by the cyber hand.
When I was watching this Saturday evening, I try to remember which girl was with me. I think it was Julia, and I shifted over immediately to a recording on YouTube of Sylvester saying the whole speech well.
That's right. That's good, isn't it?
Which is great. It's great. He does it great.
Yep.
What episode?
Hang on.
Or what
Alicia
story does Sylvester do that in?
No, he does it at DragonCon last year, I believe.
Yeah.
We're free. Okay. Alicia has left the building. Yeah, sorry.
Pizza.
She's gone down to have a trial at Corrie's Cabin, which is a local fish and chip shop. Very actually been around for quite a few years. She's having a trial day there to see if she can get a job there.
Well, what happened to her old job?
She's still got the other job. She's at the moment, but
she just wants more money
and more fish.
Well,
and chips.
Sort of. It's just security, isn't it? If one business fails, you've got another job as more work as well. And also, it's good for the CV, isn't it? That you have. She's just turned 16 and now has two jobs on her CV.
Ooh, good for her! Two jobs.
Anyway, right. Back to Doctor Who. Big speech by the Doctor, and obviously Amy. And there's a sort of. Dismantled Cyberman with the spider, the head crawls around.
I like that.
There's several elements of this Cyberman were quite good. One was the fact that the Doctor said about it being long dead, and all the organic parts of it are gone. It's just the robot parts left. And when it opens up, the skull falls out, and then his little head starts trying to bite her.
Yeah.
One thing Julia and I liked for the months before this, in all the previews, there was a scene of Amy holding her thumbs up and kind of giving this weird grin.
And we
kept waiting to see what scene that was from. Mm-hmm. And it was great to see when that actually happened. But Julia and I, Julia and I loved that little bit. Mm-hmm.
I love the way that it perfectly sums up how they react to each other. You know, sometimes I have an excellent idea. Yes. Sorry.
Anyway, and also that culminates eventually when in her getting a dart to the neck, which sort of you think is going to kill her or poison her or whatever, but all it does is knocks her out. Very unlike Cybermen to just knock someone out for the sake of it. But nevertheless, that's what happens.
It did what it could. Wasn't it convenient that it works on humans?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, because they convert humans mainly.
No, because they want the fresh meat. They don't want her dead. They want her alive.
Yeah, convert.
But they happen to have a poison that works perfectly.
Kirby, they were industry's cybermen, so they would have been initially
true.
Human.
And they also.
I remember the first time that
they are human.
that you were reviewing this, I believe that you were saying these aren't Cybus, and I dug out a
pedantic quote of the week.
No, the jingle is pedantic moment of the week.
Number one.
Now I use that particular picture that I the still I took off the video as one of the backgrounds on my computer.
Where do we get up to? We got up to Amy getting shot with the neck by a dart.
And being saved by somebody quite familiar.
Yes, but we don't see
the doctor
him.
While to recognize.
Yeah. Do you know what that reminded
me
of?
Great scene.
Do you know what that reminded me of? The way he was sort of not quite looking at him. It was like the episode where River Song's there and he's pretending. You know what I mean? The last episode, what was it called? Name of the Doctor. He was sort of like, not quite sure whether he should look at him or not, but eventually he does. So it's very, very, very good. The way they sort of, little conversation they have with each other is fantastic.
Because you think that he doesn't know who he's talking to until he says his name,
I just think that was a perfectly played scene between the both of them, and it was one of those moments where I thought, Matt Smith is playing a 900-year-old Time Lord as he was then. He's 2000 now. But I just
thought they were all great, though.
Yeah, but in that scene especially, those two were excellent. And I thought the lines, oh, I'm missing something, Rory, something big, something right slap in front of me. I can feel it. Yeah, I think we probably are. I'll get in a minute. And then he walks out and drops the guns, and then he comes back in and just pokes him.
It pokes him and he rocks back and forth,
I think this is the episode where we realise that him and Rory have a sort of a good comedy rapport, or just a rapport in general.
They've known each other for years before this.
They've worked together.
Yeah, but I mean, it does work. That's what made Rory a popular character, because of how these two characters work together.
And now they're gone.
Anyway, moving on. Of course, when Rory first sees Amy, the expression on his face, and you know, and she doesn't recognise him. It's sort of quite well acted as well. And then doesn't the doctor then give him like the little ring, that little to try and jog Amy's memory?
Yes.
And then everything sort of like builds up and builds up into the big. Because the doctor then gets kidnapped by every single available costume that they had in the BBC Wales.
And conveniently three of each one as well.
No, there's only one Hoix.
I know.
And there are dozens of Centurions.
Yeah.
But there weren't any of those monsters from the Vampires in Venice.
And also, there can't have been that many Silurians, because they only had the mask things to play. You know, they had their faces covered by the sort of Silurian mask, so they couldn't be bothered to do the whole, all of the makeup. And Neve Massingtosh managed to get out of that episode, clearly.
Yeah. Lucky. Yeah.
and the Daleks are all Teletubby Daleks.
They were indeed, yes.
Yeah, they were. Mm-hmm.
They looked so much better in the second episode.
Never mind.
Oh, yes, yes.
So basically, the Doctor gets, they realise the Doctor they're going to reboot the universe by shoving the Doctor into Pandorica. And also, notably, the Sontaran is the. The one played by Christopher Ryan rather than more...
Dan Starkey.
Recently, speak all of a sudden.
One thing I noticed only about 4 hours ago, because that was when I finished watching this, was as they put the Doctor in the Pandorica, the Cyberman does a good old Finchquist.
Finchquist.
Excellent.
Yes. Fist.
Do you mean clenched? Do you mean a clenched fist?
Yes.
I like the first thing you said. Actually, Finchquist.
I am falling asleep here. Like I said, I finished watching it about 4 hours ago, and I am trying to wake up.
So it's a Finchquist.
I know, but pedantry runs deep in you, so you just have to say these things, don't you? Even half asleep.
So anyway,
even mixing up my words, yes. Yes.
I think it's called a spoonerism. Spoonerism.
Debbie, I was up awake for that Daphne Ashbrook thing, so I've got no sympathy.
Never mind.
Well, I did turn that on for a few seconds.
It is available on YouTube to keep watching if you want.
Well, I'm glad you did do that, Robert, because obviously with Daphne, fingers crossed, being on the show next week, you'll be able to, at least one of us did it. Yeah. But anyway, back to Doctor Who. So basically, it's all building up. Sorry.
Adam.
Yes.
Here's another question.
Adam.
How did all of these creatures come up, all the enemies of Doctor Who, how did they all come up with time travel technology?
Did you say all the enemies of Doctor Who then? I suppose you could say the enemies of the show itself.
Stephen Moffat and his script.
Because somehow they all ended up in 102 AD, and it's like, how did they manage to do that, except for the Daleks, because they were the only ones.
Ah, yes.
Who is Doctor Who?
Oh, never mind. She said Doctor Who. Naughty girl. Never mind.
I think she's talking about Michael Gray.
Yeah. No. That reminds me of something when you said that, Romary. the fact that... I've forgotten now. What was it now?
Oh, we're all having trouble tonight.
Morning.
No. What do you say again?
Well, I wondered how all these enemies of the Doctor had time travel technology that they can all show up at 102.
That's a good point.
You know what, Mary, I will answer that. The Daleks have always had time travel technology since a while. And they formed an alliance with other aliens. So therefore, they could have used the Dalek technology to go back.
Yeah, but what got me was, before I forget, how did they gain access to Amy's memories?
Yeah.
The nesting consciousness, though, wasn't that? I don't know.
Oh, nesting.
that was the nesting consciousness.
Okay, carry on. Sorry, Robert Kirby and Mary.
I've got the answer to how they found out.
Robert Kirby, Mary, we've become one entity.
Oh,
you've been assimilated.
It's like the absorbent all over again.
The answer to how they found out is obvious. Stephen Moffat wrote it.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
So anyway, to cut a very long story short,
all inconsistencies forgiven because Moffat wrote it.
Indeed, this leads.
Are we in a hurry? What's going on?
We're in a hurry.
I've only got an hour.
Yes, that's what I'm trying. I don't want to drag the unnecessary nonsense.
Don't want to make it too long, do you, Adam?
No, which you're certainly consistently trying to make me do by not shutting up. Right. So basically, this is all building up to Rory. Amy. Amy remembering Rory.
This is a Finch Clist again?
Yeah, that. it's quite interesting you're talking about Finch Clist, of course, because when Rory's just about to make Amy remember him, and all the autons are then activated, his hand flips open his fist. Was clenched fist or Finch Clist, flicks open, and he ends up shooting Amy dead.
Yeah.
And
that's,
so fairly good cliffhanger. Fairly good cliffhanger.
This is an amazing cliffhanger with River trapped in the TARDIS.
I was right, because the TARDIS traps River in the middle of the explosion by closing off the console room, which is exactly what happened in Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS when they opened the door and it was just a brick wall or rock wall.
Yeah.
That's the TARDIS closing off. So that I was correct, as usual, that is what happened there. Thank you very much.
Smuggy smug.
Anyway, we remember our correctness.
The Big Bang starts off with some comedy, really. With the Doctor, Rory's cradle. No, it's not. It's little Amelia Pond, played by a friend of the show, Caitlin Blackwood.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Blackwood, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Stop hitting your bumper there, Adam.
Yeah, I know. With little sort of strange continuity problems with her hair, I noticed, and her youthful looks. She looks considerably younger when she's at the window looking out than she does the bit where she's doing little prayer to Santa. So it's a bit strange.
I wonder why that is. I can't imagine.
Exactly.
Old film stock versus recent.
Who turns up? Oh, yes. And then she's at school, isn't she, with her aunt and some strange council or person.
Was it home, I thought.
Was it? Was it home? I felt like I was at school.
Yeah.
I was clearly wrong.
Home, yeah.
And she's
going to be a part of the Starcole.
That's right, because something pops through the letterbox.
She doesn't trust that Richard Dawkins.
And it's a doctor, clearly.
Yes.
On this instance, you can see it's the doctor wearing a fez, popping that thing through the letterbox.
Richard Dawkins has been on the show, too.
Thank you. Okay, thank
you.
Plus, he's married to a former companion.
Anyway, moving on. The note drops through the letterbox, encouraging Amelia to go to the National Museum, where the story of Rory.
Yeah,
which is a lovely story, very romantic. We did skip over that bit where he decides to stay there for 2,000 years, but it's told in that sort of museum way was very very good.
And that heartbreaking story of the Blitz.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Which was mentioned in Victory of the Daleks. The warehouses were hit by incendiary bombs in Victory of the Daleks.
Ah. Yes,
which brings up another question. That's my job today.
Oh, no.
If the Pandorica can survive, going through time and space and destruction and everything else, why can't it survive a few bombs in the Blitz?
That's a good point. But I suppose he's just not taking any chances and just pulling it to safety, in case it hasn't got a fireproofness. Yes.
This is interesting. The outside, obviously, the inside of the museum. It's the National Museum of Wales, which has been used all over the place. But the outside is Gorsed Gardens Road, but that's the outside of Lazarus Laboratories as well.
Magic flapped his ears in exasperation then. Moving on. This culminates in Amelia.
Oh, and the torchbearer the Olympic torchbearer runs in front of that building as well.
The
10th Doctor. Hey. Anyway, I can't believe you mentioned Thea Her in this particular episode. So there's a post-it note.
One of the best episodes ever and one of the worst episodes.
Yes, there's a post-it note. Be quiet! There's a post-it note on the side of the Pandorica and opens up and surprise, surprise, Amy's in it. And there's a little meeting between her and her.
This is where it gets tricky.
Title sequence.
The longest pre-credit sequence ever.
Yeah.
It was like seven minutes.
By that stage, I'd forgotten we hadn't already had it. And that's what she said. Anyway. So then we have, it follows one of my favourite bits where we actually see the bit where the Doctor's going backwards and forwards with his, with a vortex manipulator and it's a conversation and all that.
And one of my favourite lines.
And how it all fits in. Here you go, favourite line for Rory.
So the universe ended. You missed that.
And that's really good. And then, of course, it's quite a long sequence of this, where he's nipping backwards and forwards and the Doctor, the river turns up and the Doctor then falls dead on the stairs and you think, how's that going to be resolved? Of course, he wasn't dead, which is fair enough, but because he lies.
It was a stunt double, not the
doctor. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Terrible stunt double.
I know, the face. That's the problem with
a Dalek comes to life.
An actor like Matt Smith with such an iconic face or different face. Yep. You can never get the stunt double right.
No, but a Dalek comes to life and sort of recharges itself. I can't remember the word it used in the episode.
Restore.
I don't think revitalate's a word, is it?
No.
Be quiet. Are you masticating again?
I am, sorry very much.
Once again, 15 minutes before this podcast started, I ate my lunch. Done.
Got my dinner, thank you very much.
Not good enough. Magic.
It's going to be about 2 hours until I have breakfast.
Yeah. Anyway, so where to get up to? The fez dies a death. We see the sun, which turns out to be the exploding TARDIS in mid-explosion.
I think that was almost romantic in a way, too. It was just a lovely idea that the TARDIS stopped itself from exploding completely to keep the Earth alive for however long.
Yes, indeed.
And then when he turned on the radar so he could hear the sound.
Yeah. That's when they got River back. Yes. So he goes on to the TARDIS.
That wasn't a radar. That was a satellite.
Tricorder. Anyway,
Now, tell me something.
I have much sleep.
Never mind that.
Tell me something. How can you have a word when the psychologist is talking to Amelia? How can you have a word for star if you don't know what a star is?
I thought that, too.
I thought that.
Amy came up with it. Amelia came up with it, and they're just saying, well, what are these fake stars?
No, because the psychologist also says that...
You have to have a concept of what it is, yeah.
The psychologist... So many times. It's an issue that she keeps talking about, and she's just annoyed that, oh,
she mentions Richard Dawkins, and she says, I don't trust Richard Dawkins. He must be a scientist who talks about that.
I will explain.
The psychologist also mentions that other people have had this delusion.
Adam's going to explain.
I'm going to explain. Right. In this instance, Amelia has sort of said about the stars. The woman has never heard of stars, but Amelia's explained that they're little dots in the sky, and she's convinced they exist. So because Amelia's told her, and other people may have mentioned it, that these stars are dots in skies, it's actually become a myth that... Is knowledge that they actually did exist.
Yeah.
So it's like other myths in the world. Yeah.
And she does mention Richard Dawkins, who is a recognized scientist. He must have talked about it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, back to...
Also that great line about, this doesn't quite apply to the stars. It was back in the first episode when the Doctor was talking about Rory after Amy had found the ring, but you could almost say the same thing. The quote is, people fall out of the world sometimes and they leave traces, little things that you can't quite account for. Faces in photographs, luggage, half-eaten meals, rings. Maybe you could talk about the memory of stars.
Yes.
There he goes, quoting again.
Those half-eaten meals won't be there for long with Robert around, but we'll leave it at that.
Anyway, there's lots of be quiet. There's lots of all this sort of wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff, which I really really adore.
Amelia saying she's thirsty because he stole the drink from her to give to her when she said she was thirsty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except that it's so empty that every time she sucks on it, it doesn't have anything in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what was the point?
Oh dear.
He didn't
just
do that.
Just to play with our minds. That's all.
Sound a bit cross about it, Kirby.
What was the point?
So that when they see the cup laying on the floor, it's not in a puddle of its own contents.
Yes.
Now, right. Eventually, we get done in by the Dalek, but Rory steps out of the shadows in his security uniform and shoots it.
Does everyone who visits a museum go with their wellies? She's wearing her wellies.
You might. I don't.
Well, she likes wearing wellies. She is.
And she wears them in every scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, if you live in Scotland, I suspect wellies are, you know, quite an important.
She doesn't live in Scotland. She moved from Scotland.
All right. If you did live in Scotland, then maybe wellies are quite an important, you know, style accessory. Moving on. Where do we get up?
Yeah, well, they're on the roof with the.
We've done that. The river kills the fez.
Rory's just come out.
What in the name of sanity?
Was it that much of a shot
on your head?
Anyway, basically we've got up to the Rory reunited with Amy bit, which is lovely.
The Rory.
What did you say?
Got up to the Rory.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I said the Rory getting reunited with Amy bit.
And the doctor telling them to breathe.
And he's been wearing the Centurion uniform for 2,000 years and only just now changed into a changed his clothes.
Yeah.
But I love the doctor saying, breathe.
I've slightly lost track here. What happens next?
The Dalek starts reviving itself because the light is shining onto it. And eventually, they start running away.
And eventually River callously murders it after it says, mercy! What? Which I thought was...
Yeah, but in the next scene, after they escape from that, he has the fez with him, chucks it on his head, and picks up a mop. And Rory says, oh, no, the mop, you're holding that when you told me to let you out of the Pandorica.
So
fits in all those things.
Yeah, and he takes the sonic screwdriver out of Amy's pocket and stuff like that. Very clever.
Yeah.
As he's using the vortex manipulator, Amelia goes, what is he, magic?
Yeah. No, magic's here.
Like Tommy Cooper.
Yes.
Oh, magic.
Yes, he is. Right, so what happens next?
No, I'm yawning. I only had 3 hours of sleep.
Okay, Kirby.
I remember now. Right, so the doctor, they realise that he's dead and they go off to find his body. He's not there anymore because he's gone into the Pandorica. And then, of course, he whispers a few things. Be quiet. He whispers a few things to River.
And then
a few things to Amy. Indicates he's going to sacrifice himself to save the whole universe. So he'll be on the other side of it, and the TARDIS and everything will be gone. The universe will be rebooted. Makes sense to a certain degree, because that's what the Pandorica is. So, they say about reboots and stuff. On this instance, it does sort of fit in quite well, because that's what the Pandorica has been doing, etc., etc.
I honestly am annoyed that people think, at the end of this episode, they've rewritten time. They haven't. They've restored time.
That's it.
He hasn't gone back and changed the time war at all. Yep. All the events that happened at the point that the Pandorica was built still happened.
Yes, that's right. So
it also makes me wonder that when the Daleks and Cybermen and everyone that built the Pandorica, did they have in mind that it was going to keep him alive? Or because if they put into it the ability to restore whatever goes into it, were they thinking of that when they built it?
Who knows? Not murderers.
No, they've built it. Be quiet. They've built it to restore the universe, and of course it's going to do that, so that's fine. Anyway, right. So the Doctor then goes into the Pandorica, flies it into the TARDIS explosion, and then he's suddenly back in the TARDIS and see his own timeline being sort of rewound, which allows him to...
Okay.
Yes,
I escape
yes.
then.
Yeah.
I love it when I do that. Legs, yes. Both legs.
Legs. Yeah.
I like buy it. Legs. Uh-huh.
So,
he's got a checklist.
Yes. Anyway, so... Yeah,
so we conveniently rewind the whole
series. We see
series,
a couple of scenes.
And revisit everybody.
Yeah, but we see a couple of scenes we hadn't seen before, like Amy delivering the note. Of course, Amy was only in the TARDIS during the Lodger episode. We see the crack on the road, which looks a bit weird.
No. Remember, they had planned the whole Lodger stuff ahead of time.
I know. I'm just saying. But we hadn't seen Amy outside the TARDIS during the episode itself. So that was something
new. This was before the TARDIS started malfunctioning and kicked the Doctor out.
Yes, I know. But I'm just saying, we hadn't... Never mind. Then, of course, we see the Doctor watching Amy. We'd already had that in the sort of Byzantian sort of forest.
I wonder if they filmed that at the same time or... kind of went back to do it. They would have filmed it at the same time as they're in that forest.
His hairstyle's different. When you see the shot of him in the background fiddling with stuff, that wasn't in the original episode, was it? So they've reshot that bit. And then they had a different hairstyle and everything.
They did anticipate this story enough to film the parts with the Bloody Queen ahead of time.
Yeah.
Liz Tynn.
Yes. Indeed.
And it is Moffat. You know he's got that overall plan, so I'm sure they shot these things.
Supposedly.
Obviously,
he did.
She was not in the same room as River when they did that scene.
Of course.
You never see them together.
No.
You just see a body couple.
Indeed.
Really?
And never mind. Anyway, so the next scene we see the Doctor appears in the garden with a sleeping Amelia, who he then carries to bed and then... says a little sort of speech to himself mainly, and
then
Amy wakes up.
To remember, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah. It is, but she's asleep, so you don't think
that was so well acted.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It was well done.
Very.
I absolutely agree. Uh-huh. Then of course Amy wakes up on her wedding day and sort of meets her mum for the first time, which I thought was a bit silly because obviously everything's been restored.
She would always
have known her mum, but it doesn't matter. And then, I've got a tiny dad.
I mean, it's just to point out, though, for us that things are different.
Yeah. I think she's an anomaly, too. So she doesn't remember it.
Anomaly.
Well, she's obviously an anomaly because her dad is so short. She's so tall.
Or maybe the milkman's got something to do with it. And neither of them are ginger as well, which is a bit of a casting shame.
It's a recessive gene.
Yeah, maybe so.
Of course, Dad doesn't have much hair, so maybe he was.
I didn't quite understand River Song sort of appearing, and I know she's a bit of an anomaly herself, and handing the blank diary to her. Because I thought, you would have thought that she would have been sort of... I suppose she was restored, wouldn't she? But then for her to be existing in the first place, they would have had to have got into the TARDIS and conceived her. So that was a bit confusing for me.
I just noticed in the scenes, I don't know why I never noticed this before, but Aunt Sharon is at one of the tables as well.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, well, and Adam Time is just a big, great big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff. So who knows when River, you know, was around.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've got a theory about why we didn't see Mark Williams as Brian Williams in that scene.
Yes.
He's Rory's real dad, but there's been a bit of a breakup and his stepfather joined him.
Okay.
At the wedding.
Okay.
That's my answer to that.
If you like. But anyway, I quite like the bits that something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Really, really clever.
Yes.
I love
it. Fitted in so well. So well. Just like that's it was written for it.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that when she remembers him, she jumps on the table, and then suddenly when the TARDIS starts appearing, Rory goes, Doctor, how can we forget the Doctor? And, of course, only appears in his suit.
I bet you weren't expecting that. Oh, yes, it's totally surprised.
But the thing that only dawned on me during this time...
By the way, speaking of something borrowed, the room that was used as the reception for the reception was also used in the Torchwood story... called Something Borrowed.
Great.
Oh, fantastic. Is that guy that he met, was it?
But didn't you think... can I just say... Sorry to interrupt you, Robert. But I've filmed 71 weddings during my time as a professional videographer. Never in my time as a professional videographer has a space been left in the middle of the floor for a TARDIS to land. Sometimes the dance floor, but not during the reception.
Maybe if you leave a space, you'll have a TARDIS material.
Yeah.
Hey, again, they were doing the dinner and the toasts and all that. They hadn't started the dancing yet.
No, but the dancer, they cleared all the tables away for the dance. That doesn't explain it. There was no dance floor there.
Okay. So that's one word for it.
So that was convenient to the plot.
I've been to weddings where there's a big space in the middle because things haven't, you know, the dancing and all that haven't started and the tables are around the perimeter.
Yeah,
In my experience, all the tables have been dotted evenly around the floor so everybody's got enough space to walk around, et cetera, et cetera. And when I'm filming, I find it very difficult finding a spot to film. Because there's never enough space. But on this this wedding,
you're so old fashioned. You use film and not.
It's still called filming.
Digital video.
Still called filming.
Must be because the Isle of Wight is so small. They don't have big enough halls to do that.
Anyway, they remember the Doctor. The Doctor comes back, and then what?
And then the Doctor starts flailing his arms around even more.
Yes.
Did you hear the guy, the line from Rory when the Dr. Pierce, he's saying, he was just a guy, it was a stripper from a stag night or something?
No, I didn't hear that bit.
It was the stripper.
Oh, yeah.
He was the stripper, yeah.
But after all that, we get the farewell scene between the Doctor and River, where some interesting questions are asked.
Yes.
And then they go into the... Well, he goes into the TARDIS, just about to get away, but Amy and Rory hop in, and we're just about to go... He gets a phone call from Her Majesty, and he's about to go off on an adventure, and they stay, and we think the next adventure is going to be something to do with that. But, oh, no, it is not. And that's technically and essentially the end of a very, very good two-part story. Well done, Stephen Moffat.
Yes.
One of the best stories ever.
Very good. Very good.
At the end of one of the best seasons ever, too.
And I like when he says, so it's time to say goodbye. And I like that, you know, Amy leans out the door and says, goodbye, because that's a nice surprise, too.
I will say, obviously, having watched this to get detailed questions for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One, thoroughly enjoyed watching it and picked up lots and lots of things I'd never picked up on previous occasions. And did watch it to try and pick up on things we may not have seen, you know, since. But the only thing that did stick in my mind was the silence will fall. And who said that? But I'm thinking it's Prisoner Zero. his voice that actually we do here in this, because it was that originally in the
that's what I'm tending first to episode. Think as well.
But yeah, so that's the only thing
we will ever find out.
Indeed. So that's I loved it. I do like this story.
It was brilliant.
It's one that the time flew by, and the episodes are actually longer than the standard Doctor episode, only slightly. But it was rewatchability superb.
54.
It romps along at a steady, fast and enjoyable pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Speaking of the next adventure, will we be reviewing that at some point before going to Old Who, or just go straight to Old Who?
We're going straight to Old Who.
Old Who.
Straight
we're going to
Old
Daphne
Who.
First, aren't we?
Daphne, yes. Then Old
Who. I mean, after Daphne.
Yeah.
Classic Old Who. Who.
Classic Who.
Old Who and New Who.
So be interesting to see how we get on with...
Not all the stories
will you
can
stop
be good.
Going
be
talking
classics.
Over each other. Those editions of... Be quiet! You won't get this one.
Old Who.
Anyway, right. So, right. Mary, what did you think?
Well, I loved it. It's been a couple of years since I've seen these episodes. And so, once again, I kept being surprised by things I didn't remember happening. And like you say, it moves. They both move along. It's such a good clip that the questions that I was asking are things I never thought about before. But, now the questions come up because now I have time to reflect and think on them. But anything that doesn't really make sense, like Silence Will Fall, I mean, you just shrug it off because you have no idea what it means.
Yeah.
And you forget about
That's
it.
That's my only issue.
Yeah, because he's throwing so much at you that you just,
ouch.
You know, it's like, you know, you got to strap yourself in and hang on for the ride. So,
which is rather what the Doctor did in the Pandorica.
So other than the questions that I asked of things that, you know, to me didn't make much sense, I loved it. Yeah. These were the excellent, excellent two episodes.
Reese.
I loved it too. There's just so many things about it that work. And I think one of the reasons why it works for me more than what we've had recently is he's giving us a large scale paradox of, lots of paradoxes, just little ones like getting Amelia her drink.
Oh, the only paradox was on the
Shut up. No, because the other paradox is him getting her drink.
There were two docs together. When the Doctor was dead and he said, yes, he is dead.
Yes.
He lied.
That's the paradox.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm ignoring your terrorism.
And the fact that the two sonic screwdrivers touched each other and the spark flew.
Yeah, and weren't like Amy and Amelia lucky that that didn't happen with them?
Why it didn't blow up because of the
exactly.
whatever it was.
Yeah. She touched her hair, didn't she? She picked her hair. She touched her hair.
That's right. I'm still asleep, so.
But. As
so
we all know,
baby.
Hair grows at a certain
Kirby,
rate. So the hair she took.
I
am talking at the moment. This is disgraceful.
I am talking.
No, the hair.
But I want to remind Kirby that he's the one who suggested these Monday morning recordings.
He did indeed.
And he's the biggest complainer.
Yes, he is. But anyway, I just want to say.
Only reason I'm complaining this time is because I stayed up until 2 in the morning.
Wow. Was that when I was on Google Plus, Kirby?
Never mind.
Google Plus, I didn't notice.
Never mind that. Anyway, I'm just saying, the fact that she touches little Amelia's hair, obviously it's a completely different hair because it's all grown out and been cut off by the time she becomes big Amelia. So that technically is okay. Okay. Right, who's next? Robert, what do you think?
I had a lot more to
say. I loved it, yeah.
Oh, shut up, Robert. Shut up a minute. Sorry. Reese has got a lot more to say.
I do. I love it so much. I thought the way he wrote the paradoxes in was so much more different to what we got in The Impossible Astronaut and stuff like that, because I made such a big deal of it.
There's only one
was
doctor
like,
in that, though.
Be quiet!
Oh, shut up. But there were two. There was one version and the younger version. There were two. But that's a bad joke. I'm not going there. This was like a magician just doing his magic without making a big deal of it. The next one was like they were in a circus and he was going, look at this, I've got this and I'm doing this magic trick and this one. But this was just a lot more subtle and it fitted in with the story a lot more.
Yes.
And I just thought they were executed in such a fun way with him having the mop and then traveling back to time. Well done. but, you know, having the mop and going back in time to give Rory the sonic screwdriver and all those little
brilliant.
Things. I just thought, it was just so clever and so fun.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Good. Robert?
Yeah, I'm just totally agreeing with Reese there. I think maybe Moffat was a bit more fresh to the series then, so maybe he had a bit more time to build things up. And I think lately he's probably got a bit jaded, maybe. He's had too much on his plate. And I think that's showing in the it's sort of showing in the stories, I reckon.
Isn't this pre-Sherlock?
Probably, yeah. Or just
came
around.
Out the same year, so...
By a few months at the most, same time. I would think.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it shows in this story.
But I think it'd have had this one written long before that, because they started filming this season while they were still doing the specials.
Series.
Oh, specials. Is that the Scar Band? Lead into... Damn, I'm going to find another special song.
Good. Message for you. It was excellent. I really enjoyed it. So it was nice to watch again. And, you know, yesterday I finished watching The Mind of Evil. Then I watched those two episodes. And then there was the Daphne Ashbrook TV movie that I watched. So I had all that Doctor Who last night.
Totally steeped in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forgot to mention two things that I really quite liked. The scene in Dorian's canteen thing, which was very Star Wars.
And one of those appeared in the Akaten episode.
Rings of Akaten?
Yeah, Rings of Akaten. Funny that.
Yes. I told you off the wrist.
Yes.
I said
which means that had to have been Captain Jack.
Yeah, well, no, they cut his hand off. He's cut his hand off. Can't be Captain Jack.
And his hand grows back.
Does his hand grow into a new Captain Jack?
No.
There would have been the more handsome Time agents other than Captain Jack, you know.
No, there aren't.
There are. Yeah,
I'm sure Barrowman. Barrowman would have.
There was but there were Time agents in the classic era, weren't there? I can't remember who, but there were.
Well, and they encounter one when he rescues Rose from that rope. Doesn't she meet another Time agent? Or he talks about them as if he's just one of several. Yeah, okay.
And Time agents are brought up in Talons of Wing Chiang as
That's
well.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah. That's
right. Sorry.
What sort of micro explosives? The sort I just put in your drink.
Yes.
Nice. I like it.
Wine.
Have you finished, Robert?
Yeah, I did.
So it's Kirby's turn.
No, I had to mention
another.
Don't
know
whether
Reese has finished, though. Reese
finished. He said he'd finished. Now he's starting back up again. No. For goodness sake.
I had to mention those two things.
Okay.
Another very Indiana Jones thing was on the confidential. You done, Robert?
Oh, he's on a laughing jag.
Beg your pardon?
Okay. But on The Confidential, whilst they were filming the scenes when they opened the Underhenge, they played the Raiders of the Lost Ark music on set.
Yes, I heard this, yes.
That was very atmospheric. Yeah. But I think that in terms of the scene that they were making, I thought Murray's music worked well for it too. But I do think that it was a little bit more eerie with the Raiders of the Lost Ark music.
Yes. Okay. Have you finished now?
Yes.
Right. Kirby, get a word in before it's too late.
You might start again.
You have to imagine that I'm saying this and I'm making a clinched fit.
A face clenched.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Okay.
I can hear thrusting too, Kirk. Settle down.
Huh?
I can hear thrusting too.
All
settle
right,
down.
Be quiet.
Oh, excuse me.
This is absolutely perfect Doctor Who, in spite of the plot holes. There are some plot holes.
I don't care. Yeah. Yeah.
Even my pedantic, my being pedantic doesn't care, This is absolutely perfect Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Well, so basically, sums it up, which means we can sort of move on to feedback. Ooh, what's happening? Right.
Sorry, I'm a bit late with that.
I was looking for it on my iPod. A load of it's just turned up. Anyway, this is from Dean Daniel. He sent some pictures, actually, from something. I thought he'd sent in audio. I'm going to have to read something. It's blooming awful. Here we go. I'll try my best. Good day, Adam. I thought I would send in a little report on things. Be quiet! On things at Supernova Sydney for everyone. Why didn't Reese go to that? Hello, everyone. It was
Sydney. I'm closer to Melbourne.
Oh, just go to Sydney. It was a pop culture convention.
So aren't they right next to each other? They're so close on the map.
Quite a distance.
Why aren't you sitting next to Adam recording
this? I do apologise, Dino.
Yeah.
It was a pop culture convention, so it was a mixed bag of everything, and I mean everything. Oh, my God. Guys in short, prink, frilly dresses. Ah, Reese was there.
What?
That was you, Adam. Don't try and hide it.
Anyway, back to Who, or more precise, Torchwood. We were graced by the company of Eve Miles and Kai Owens, spelt Kia Owens. But never mind, I'm not going to be too...
he's a car.
They were great on... Do you mind? Be quiet. They were great on stage together and were the best of the ones I saw. My friend asked them one of the best questions and they talked for what seemed like ages. I have some videos to share before they made me put it away. Ooh, that's what she said. I was lucky, paid for, and got a photo and hug with Eve, and she was beautiful. Lucky sod.
Nice.
I have some other photos to share as well, but... I still love the show. Keep up the good work. My answers for the quiz are The Crack in the Wall, The 11th Doctor, Rory, and Red Shirt. All the best, Dino. Now, he has sent some photos. I don't know if whether he's actually posted them on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. And if you've got anything interesting to send into the show, and I forgot to mention this last week, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. But isn't it funny? When I don't mention it, we seem to get a few more emails than normal. But there you go. Yes. So I don't know whether he's posted them or whether he wants me to post them. He did say he'd done a video, but I can't see any videos here.
I don't think they're on there. I don't think they're on there, Adam.
Okay. No, I don't see them.
No, okay. I haven't seen them.
Kirby's posted his lovely picture from his gig daughter.
Okay, thank
it's
you.
It's so cute, that picture.
Thank you.
She would have put a bow tie on it, except it would have looked like it would have looked like it had it would have been more like a Mother's Day thing and had a bow in its hair.
Anyway, he mentioned a video. I hope to get to see this video, whether he's going to send me a link to a YouTube thing
too.
Or whether he can send me the video and I'll pop it on our YouTube channel. But either way, I hope to get to see the video that he refers to. Thanks, Dino. Right.
Yes, thank you.
Right, here we go. Let's see if I can get this one to work. This is audio feedback for once.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello.
In the clip of the 20 Megabyte Episode 6 played last week, Adam said it would be ridiculous to have a woman playing Sherlock Holmes.
Did I?
So he came close to predicting Lucy Liu as Dr. Watson.
Yep.
In the Day of the Moon, the Doctor says the wall they're building around him is made of dwarf star alloy. How would he know what a wall is made of? He's a doctor, not a bricklayer.
That was brief. He must have been in a hurry. Thank you, Ian. Right, we also
that's
have
all right.
This.
Thank you.
Oh no, he's written it. I think maybe his recording device is broken. This is Matthew Kressel. Here we go.
Cool.
As my new laptop won't be here until tomorrow, I'm afraid I'm unable to send in a piece of audio feedback at the moment. Get an iPhone. They're really great for that sort of thing. I can, however, supply this piece of written feedback on the Pandorica Opens and the Big Bang. Adam, will you please supply this to either Mary or Reese, depending on whoever is available? And provided Reese doesn't pause when reading it, to disagree with something I've said? If so, yes. Over to them. So I've got, right, okay, I've got to forward this to someone.
So good.
I won't pause until at the end and then I'll cover the point.
Mary, I'm just forwarding this said email to you.
Email?
So it's an email?
Yeah, I've just forwarded it to you. He says he wants you to read it, or Reese, but I'm not going to let Reese. Because he said he wants Reese not to pause to disagree with something.
I'll leave my complaints to the end.
I don't know, Reese. You do have trouble not commenting.
Okay. Yes. Mary, have you got it?
I'll comment, but at the end.
I'm getting there. I'm signing into my email.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Does take a bit.
Don't keep email up all the time.
I don't, because you keep on getting come through every time we get an email.
You hear that tone in their voice? No.
You get that much spam, Adam.
I'm not that socially needy, you know.
Have you got it yet?
Okay, I've got it.
Okay, so I've got up to the end of the first paragraph. Now you take over from there. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is Mary doing Matthew. That's what she said.
Matthew's voice.
I don't know how to do Matthew's voice.
Alabama accent, is it?
No, it's not an Alabama accent.
Never mind what blooming accent is. Get on with it. There's only 6 minutes to go before Mary has to go, for God's sake.
Okay, this is Matthew. I have always had a fondness for this two-parter ever since I first saw it back in 2010. Having enjoyed most of the series season 5, I eagerly looked forward to it, and I was not disappointed. I recently heard a piece of feedback on another podcast that discussed how Moffat at times seems to take ideas RTD did and
podcasts.
Put a new spin on them. And what I think he does in this two-parter is exactly that. The idea of all the various villains coming together to form an alliance, including references to some from the novels and audios as well, seems like something RTD might have done, and Amy's wishing the Doctor back into existence at the end of the Big Bang harkens back to The Last of the Time Lords, where RTD did something very similar and, in my humble opinion, failed miserably. While I acknowledge...
I definitely disagree there.
Okay. While I acknowledge... See,
he said he said he wasn't going to interrupt. Yeah. He'll save it to the end.
If I read it... I'm not reading it, am I? I'm going to disagree as much as I can.
Pedantic moment.
No, we've had that!
Lots of moments.
Go on.
I acknowledge that the Big Bang is largely a runaround in the British Museum, the performances and the notion of this alternate timeline where there's no stars carries it nevertheless. I also can't help but wonder if the starless sky idea is an homage to Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide novel, Life, the Universe, and Everything. If so, it would be appropriate since that novel started out as a potential Doctor Who story.
Ah, yes.
Oh, no kidding. Oh. Okay. Speaking of the actors, I'm always struck by how good Matt Smith is in both episodes, be it the Hello Stonehenge speech in Pandora Opens, backed up by Murray Gold's excellent reworking of I Am the Doctor, to the Doctor's goodbyes to both Amy and little Amelia in the second part. I also want to mention Karen Gillan in the second part as well, especially in the aforementioned goodbye scene and in the scene where she brings the Doctor back into existence. To sum up, this two-parter is one of my favorites from series/season 5, and I come back to it frequently, as I do with 11th Hour and Victory of the Daleks, though I'm more than happy to acknowledge the faults in the latter episode. It's what Doctor Who is at its best, bold, epic, yet personal at the same time. Best wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matthew Kressel.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew.
That last part, I could imagine his voice.
Yeah, me too. It's his unique way of phrasing things.
Yes, indeed it is. Yeah. Right, go on then, Reese. Have a grumble.
I had my grumble. There's only one point I had to disagree with.
I was all big build up for just that. Terrible. So that's in a
if
moment.
If he'd been controversial, then I'd have disagreed with him. But he was perfectly on track.
He said that Matthew, be it. For not having Adam read it.
God's sake.
Is that Robert?
Yeah. There's some music for Reese.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, so...
Thank you.
I suspect we're going to lose Mary in a moment or two. In that time, a couple of things will happen.
No.
One, there'll be a good time for an advert break. And two, it'll be a good time for me to start cooking the dog's dinner. So,
toilet break.
What the hell's that?
Somebody rolling up a packet of something or other.
Twiglets.
I thought it was
sizzling of the dog's dinner.
No, that's my saved empty packet of Twiglets. I was just making a reference to Robert.
And what do you save it for? Is that so you can just sniff it to get the remnants of the Twiglets or something? I don't know.
Yes.
or sending me a hint.
The Twiglets have left the building. The Twiglets have been saved.
I should be able to...
Yeah.
Naughty.
I am getting ready to move back to where I have several shops with British stuff that I can buy Twiglets.
Oh, okay.
Well done.
Are you moving your home address?
I have been... this can be announced on the podcast now. I've been living... in Tennessee for the last 3 years because the economy was so bad I had to get a job away from the family.
As a male escort.
And I've found a physician program back in Georgia, only a few miles from my house, and I'm moving back on July 4th.
Excellent.
Yes.
So if I have to send you more Twiglets, does that change your address?
Can I just ask, Kirby?
It changes my address, but I'm also going to be about, my job is about 2 miles from a British store.
Excellent. But where you will move back on July the 4th, did you want to move back on Independence Day, or is that just coincidence?
It's just coincidence.
Okay.
Oh, Adam, you know that it's Independence Day for us.
No, you lot don't ever stop banging on about it. That's why.
I know.
No, we actually, the entire nation sets off firecrackers and fireworks that day to celebrate the fact that it was July 4th, 1999, when we adopted my youngest daughter in China.
Boy, that's a really big day for you.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's why everyone shoots off those firecrackers, right?
Yes, right? Absolutely.
But it's time for me to go.
Indeed.
I need to sign off. Thank you.
Yes, okay, Mary. So see you next week when we hopefully will be having a chat with Vito and some lady, Daphne, somebody or other.
Either announce or post what time that's going to be if it's different.
It's not going to be different.
Okay.
I will be on myself an hour beforehand, just in case we have got the time zones mixed up. But Vito did try and make sure that we do actually meet at the same time.
Because that would be noon. There'd be 12 noon their time.
Yes, that's right. He thought it was going to be 11, but we made absolutely sure that it is in fact 8 o'clock here, 12 o'clock there.
Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday.
I may try to get one of the girls in. Since I am going to be moving back home, the girls will probably be able to make more appearances on the podcast.
Cool, that'd be good. And the other thing I'd like to say, Matthew would like to come on. He's asked to come on. I'd like him to come on, but I did explain that if there's a Skype overload, obviously Matthew would have to fall off. And also, obviously, we're going to have to sort out.
Ouch.
We're going to have to sort out muting our microphones when Daphne's talking, and have a word with them about making sure Skype's the only thing open while they're talking as well.
Twiglets.
True. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So we'll just have explain a few technical issues before we get going, so as we can overcome them if indeed they start happening. One, of course, will be microphone muting and stuff like that. Because I think for some reason, but I would like to get Matthew on as well if possible. I think it will be possible. Because that'll be six people. Bye, Mary.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right. Bye, Mary.
I'm going to get the dog's dinner sorted out, and it's time for an advertisement break. Welcome to the world of football mad Troy Brown, a typical 15-year-old with a loving family, a tight-knit group of friends, and a nice house in Cowes on the Isle of Wight. Materially, he has a comfortable life, but then no hormone-ridden, angst-filled teenager would ever describe their life as comfortable, and Troy was no exception. plagued as he was, the whole world is against me complex, no girlfriend syndrome, and the pains of requited love or lust, and the usual horde of teenage frustrations and obsessions. A privileged peek into his private, warts and all, 2003 diary reveals transformation of his boring, ordinary life as Troy tries to negotiate his many twists and turns in what was to become the most extraordinary year of his life. Fraught with family secrets, misunderstandings, dangerous liaisons, challenging adventures, shocking realities, and unexpected outcomes, interspersed with teenage insights into the state of the world, including war, crime, death, and disease. As you travel with Troy on his one-year life-changing journey, you will undoubtedly laugh at the adolescent humour, cry at his misfortune, sympathise with his plights, and empathise with his feelings as he works through his personal traumas and is forced to learn by his mistakes. Be warned, however, those of a sensitive disposition may also be shocked by some of the diary's content, possibly offended, but you are, after all, delving into the grimy mind of a pubescent youth. The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin by Adam Pearson. Available as a paper book or as an e-book from Amazon and iTunes. And if you're interested in the sequel, From Troy to Man, Troy Brown resumes his diary. He is 17 and he desperately wants to leave home and start his life as a bachelor. He has just been dumped by his first proper girlfriend, and not because he has accidentally cheated on her twice during their relationship. She wants to play the field. Most of his friends have moved away from the island, and life out of school proves to be quite a challenge for him. Troy is forced to grow up because of his incredible ability to make mistakes. His mistakes, as usual, are of a sexual nature, and the consequences of unprotected sex begin to appear, seemingly out of thin air. Faced with fatherhood and separation from his children, Troy's attitude to life changes forever. His main concern isn't football anymore. It is how the hell is he going to be able to be a real father to his children, and how many children has he got? Of course, his life is full of the other problems associated with day-to-day life. Will he ever find a true love? Will he ever find a job that he is truly happy in? Can he solve a murder mystery? Can he avoid being murdered himself? Will he ever be able to be a true father to his children? All of these questions are answered in this book. If you thought that being a 15-year-old virgin was enough of a roller coaster ride for Troy, read on. This year and a half of his life may leave you needing to ingest a large dose of motion pills. From Troy to Man is available as an e-book from Amazon and from iTunes. If you're a fan of quizzes and happened also to be a fan of the Beatles, why not buy The Beatles Quiz Book by Adam Pearson? It is available as an e-book from Amazon or from iTunes. I've got a heat pad on my back at the moment. I'll tell you what, it's such a it really does work. You can believe it. As far as easing my back pain goes, it's really, really good. Might have to get some more. Anyway, right. It is now time for some news. And Robert, you've been itching to start the news off, haven't you?
Oh.
Ah, oh, yes. It's about... I've got some.
Okay. Stop nicking my gags.
I had to use it as well.
Oh, for God's sake.
On this, I won't mention this particular forum, just for a certain reason. But somebody who's pretty well known on this forum says, "Hi all, been away for 4 or 5 days and knew there would be lots of posts about the missing episodes news rumours. Says, I'm not totally sure what Phil Morris is up to." Now, Phil Morris is supposed to be this guy. I can't remember the name of the company he works for, but they search for film overseas, etc., that kind of thing, get hold of episodes. He says he doesn't, not sure what this Phil Morris is up to with regards to his recent comments. He says, "I mean, I'm sure it's all misdirection, and I'm sure that it's because he's still in the middle of negotiating a deal. I do know that he is in Hong Kong right now, tracking down 2 episodes of The Wheel in Space. I have heard this direct..." He says, "I have heard this directly from Caroline Skinner, who I know is absolutely underlined and in italics, in negotiations with Morris for the missing episodes."
In both other words, that's Levine, absolutely.
Yes. said in the style of Brian Blessed. Both Ian Levine and Outpost Garo have posted that they don't believe Morris's statement. He says, yes, I know, quoting Ian Levine doesn't really mean much these days, but it's good for a laugh, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
I can say...
Sorry, that's one of the reasons I'd like it to be true, just so Ian Levine looks like a complete knob. Oh, sorry, more of a complete. Carry
he says,
on.
All I can say is keep your fingers crossed, keep an eye on Bleeding Cool News in the next 24 hours. If I hear anything else, I'll let you know.
Excellent.
So make of that what you will. But I will say, this guy did confide in me. I'll see if I can get the message. This is something he... Because do you remember, Adam, when you mentioned that rumor on the podcast last year, was it?
Yeah. That did, yes, I remember that.
Okay. Then I've got to find where the messages are. Okay, so I was asking this guy, because he sort of mentioned, he said he heard about this around the same time that you'd mentioned about these missing episodes. So I sort of thought, oh, there must be something in this. He says in a message to me, he says, I don't see any reason why I can't share what I actually saw. I don't think this could get anyone into trouble. And this is, by the way, he said this in April. I was in Godalming, Surrey, 2 weeks ago, town to the south of... in April. A town to the south of London, if you're not familiar with the area.
That's what she said.
Where I had the opportunity to meet up with one of the individuals who had initially shared this information with me back in August. While I was there, I had a chance to view two very brief clips. The first was from Marco Polo. It was the scene where the Doctor and Susan... It was in the scene where the Doctor and Susan noticed the water streaming down the inside walls of the console room. He says, I believe this is from episode 3. The second was from Power of the Daleks. I think it was from episode 2 when Ben is talking about the real Doctor always going on about the Daleks. He says, now I know my missing episodes and I'm absolutely certain these clips are not supposed to exist. And having a look at the Lost in Time box set, I did not see anything from Marco Polo there. There are clips from Power of the Daleks, but not that particular episode that he's mentioning. So make of that what you will, but I don't know. Keep your eyes and ears peeled.
Yeah, I mean, that, these rumours have been rather rife, haven't they?
I can make a pterodactyl.
What?
I was going to make a souffle.
Yeah, so exciting, isn't it? Let's hope it is actually true, that because it'd be fantastic. I really would like to see souffle. What? Moving on. The BBC, in fact, on that subject, have issued a statement over missing episodes, which rather refutes it.
Adam?
Yes?
Adam?
Kirby did mention something very valid with that.
Yes?
If they've got the episodes back, they're no longer missing... So therefore, they can say, well, we don't have the missing episodes. Because right. They're not
why
missing.
They wouldn't just say they've found them, I don't know. I don't
They're not allowed to lie, but if they're still in negotiations, etc., and don't want to damage a deal, there's valid reasons why they wouldn't. You know what I mean?
No, that's fine.
I don't think it is valid.
I don't really care. If they're lying and they have actually got the episodes, I don't really care. I'd rather just have the episode at some point in the future. Anyway, right, so Charles and Camilla are to visit the Doctor Who studios. So I wonder if they're actually going to... What?
Who's Camilla?
Camilla. Duchess of Cornwall. Prince Charles and the Duchess of Cornwall. Be quiet! Anyway, so... so hopefully they're actually visiting during a time they'll be filming. So maybe they'll be filming the Christmas special by Wednesday the 3rd of July. Otherwise, it'd be a bit pointless them turning up the studios, wouldn't it?
Exterminate.
Doctor Who is to be star attraction of Radio at Radio Times exhibition. Doctor Who is to have its own special display at an exhibition marking the 90th anniversary of Listings magazine, The Radio Times. Matt Smith has recorded a thank you message to Doctor Who fans.
Did you see that?
No, I haven't yet, no. It's available via the... Because I've been busy. It's available via the iPlayer.
I haven't seen it.
It's also on our podcast page.
You can sleep in.
It's done in the style of that Bob Dylan video.
Oh, yeah.
Homesick Blues.
Yeah, that's the one. Absolutely.
Why, Robert, do you have this strange echo?
What strange echo? I can't hear a strange echo. Can you hear a strange echo?
No, just like you, don't I?
Do you?
Well, because I'm sort of near the end of the bedhead.
I haven't heard a strange echo. Moving on. Doctor Who Adventures 323 is out with a picture of Matt Smith on the cover, etc. Not a lot of news, actually, at the moment. Walk of Life, four former Doctor Who actresses took part in Walk of Life. That was Katie Manning, Sophie Aldred, Louise Jameson, and just to make it sort of spanning all the series, Freema Agyeman. Jenna Louise Coleman is to play Lydia Wickman, BBC One adaptation of Death Comes to Pemberley. So, obviously not filming Doctor Who at the moment.
Nice picture there.
It is. I thought somebody posted a very nice picture of Jenna Louise Coleman.
That was Reese, wasn't that? That should have its own podcast page.
Indeed, it should. I did think of that.
Nicholas Norks.
Yeah, Jenna Norks. Ben. Yeah.
That's what I said to Ben.
Yeah. Anyway, Angus MacKay, who played Barusa in The Deadly Assassin, has passed away at the age of 86.
I posted that on the 20 Megabyte
you
Doctor
have indeed.
Podcast Facebook page.
And, of course, we were talking about Daphne and the event of celebrating the TV movie. So fans worldwide were invited. I should change that word. Were invited to relive and discuss the 1996 TV movie in the company of two of its stars in an online event.
They also had Gary Russell on there as well.
In fact, I got a personal invite by Vito. Thank you, Vito, but unfortunately at that particular time, I was unable to attend. But I do appreciate the invite.
Thank you, Vito. Vito, thank you for attending, so I was happy.
Indeed, exactly. But we will discuss that next week, hopefully. Yeah, and there's some fiction.
Can I just say something?
Well, I will anyway.
For those who missed out on it, it's still up on YouTube because it was recorded. So if people want to listen to it, it makes a good alternate commentary track.
You mentioned that a few minutes ago, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of former companions, I guess he was I'd call him a companion. My wife and I and Julia went out the other night and saw Star Trek Into Darkness, which was great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing that.
And I poked Julia said, "Look, it's Mickey." Noah Clark at the very beginning.
Big chunky, isn't he now?
Yeah. And also another person who was in Doctor Who is, of course, Simon Pegg.
Yes.
And Scotty.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
He's always funny.
Oh, yeah. But the movie was great. I loved it. My wife was telling me yesterday that she wants to go see it again, except it's just so expensive to go to the movies. We're going to have to wait for the DVD.
Especially if you got a family.
Yeah, and where did it go wrong? The other two girls did not want to go see it. They're not Star Trek fans.
What?
Well, I must admit, my family aren't Star Trek fans, but they loved the first new film, the prequel to this.
That was brilliant too.
It was good, but I'm expecting I probably won't get to see it.
At least the other two girls like Doctor Who.
So I'm not expecting to get to see this until iTunes release it a week early. As I've done with a film I haven't seen yet, Cloud Atlas. I've got that on my iTunes ready to go.
Anybody seen that?
No, I just said I haven't seen it.
Nope. I wonder what it's like.
Next up is this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. But in the meantime, I'm going to check to see if the dog's dinner is boiling or not. I'll be back in a moment.
Okay, wikipedia.com.
No!
Magic, what are the questions? What are the questions, Magic? We'll look them up now.
Yes.
Magic's probably in the other room where...
waiting to be fed. Yeah.
Remind me not to stay up until 2 a.m. to review an episode.
Tell me about it, Kirby. I was battling to stay up so I could go on that online for that thing.
Have to stay up. That's the thing. Set an alarm.
No, I can't do that because I just can't sleep.
Okay, so I'm obviously going to have to go after the first round. Right then, so it's now time for this week's edition of... pardon me. You won't get this one.
Opens and Big Bang were directed by my uncle.
Were they?
Uncle Toby.
Really?
Yeah. Toby Haynes.
No. Congratulations. Yeah. I was going to carry that joke on for a bit before you did that. Welcome to the show. And this week we've only got Kirby, Reese and Robert. Hello, Kirby, Reese, Robert.
Hello.
And you'll be answering questions on the Pandora
Cup.
And if you start interrupting me, you'll get points deducted. We've been asking questions on the Pandorica Opens and the Big Bang, and there's lots of them. So starting with Kirby.
Yes.
Where and when are we when the story opens?
We're in France for Van Gogh.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the year. I don't remember.
I'll give you a point for France, a point for anybody else who wants to come in with the year.
Yeah. It's a bit rude, isn't it?
Anybody?
1890
is the correct answer for the year. Well done, Reese.
Whoa, did you look it up?
No, I said it before.
Yeah.
Right, okay, Reese, this is your question. What is the name of the woman attending Vincent van... What's the name of the woman in the room while he's having his mental episode?
Pass it on, because I do not know.
Anybody else with the answer?
No.
Madame Vernet. Madame Vernet. Right. This is for Robert. What cell receives receives the call for River Song? What number cell is it?
Oh.
Come on, this is for Robert.
Number cell. Oh my goodness. How do you expect me to get that?
Because it was in it was in the episode.
I don't know. You're crackling, Adam.
Yeah, you're crackling.
Yeah, I do like crackling. I'll probably come back again at some point. Go on in, Reese.
She's held in cell 426.
Is the correct answer?
Wow. Excellent.
Right then, the next question is for Kirby.
Yes.
What year is it at the Royal Collection?
Oh, no.
I haven't the foggiest.
Right, but anybody else wants to come in with an answer?
Racewell.
The Royal Collection. Is that the museum?
No.
Royal Collection.
Oh, yeah, it's the same year as River was in the Storm Cage. It was 51-45.
Here's the correct answer. Reese, this is your question.
Told you'd get it.
Where does River Song have a conference with Dorian?
You probably want the exact name, don't you?
Yes.
It sounds like his last name, which is Moldavarian.
Correct.
Correct, yeah.
What? Oh, my goodness.
This is for Robert. This is your question. What does River use to force Dorian into giving her a vortex manipulator?
Isn't that those micro-explosives or something?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it called?
I don't know. Just they're called micro-explosives.
Micro-explosives. What do you want?
I call it.
Not quite.
What?
Not quite what she said before she talked about micro-explosives. She said, this is a...
Nano whatever.
That?
No, it's a Callisto pulse. Callisto pulse.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
I didn't have my... I should have had my subtitles on then.
Would have helped. Okay. After those two rounds, the current scores are in last place with no points, Robert.
Yes, we know.
In second place with 1 point, Kirby. But in the lead with 5, it's Reese. Right, next question is for Kirby. Kirby?
Yes.
Where do the Doctor and Amy visit first?
The planet Zero.
No. Nearly
planet
right.
One.
Is the correct answer.
Planet One. Okay.
Reese.
Yes.
What coordinates are written on the cliff face?
Oh, my goodness.
I said it earlier. It's Earth, Britain, 102 AM. No, PM. No, AD.
is the correct answer.
And Theta Sigma.
Yes.
And that too.
Robert.
Yes.
What did River graffiti the oldest cliff face in New... Why did River graffiti the oldest cliff face in the universe? This is Robert.
I know.
Let them have it, because I don't.
Well, who said I know first?
Me.
Kirby.
Go on, Kirby.
Yeah, Kirby.
He wouldn't answer his phone.
It's the correct answer.
I love that.
Yay.
Kirby, this is your question.
You answer your phone.
Yes.
Where do the Doctor, his future wife and mother-in-law, find the Pandorica?
In the Underhinge.
Is the correct answer?
Yeah.
Right, Reese.
That was a trick question.
Sounds like a garment, doesn't
Which
it?
Which one?
The Victorian garment.
Reese.
Yes. I break my Underhinges.
Reese.
Yes.
What, according to Riversong in the fairy tales, always ends up being the Doctor?
Oh, good wizards.
Is the correct answer. And Robert?
Yes?
What aliens does Riversong list after relaying the news that a Sontaran ship is in orbit? Now, I'm going to give you...
List all of them.
Yeah, 1 point for every one. I know this is normally 2 points, but this is very special. Pardon?
Yeah.
Hang on, start again. I've got to count this. Go on, then. So again, what was it?
Zygons.
Yeah.
Zygons, Dadoon, Cybermen,
and whoa. Slower. Right. Zygons.
Zikara.
Yes. Shut up. Go on.
Dark X.
Would there be Slitheen?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't think of any more at the moment. I know Sontarans.
I know.
No, we can't have Sontarans because it says after the Sontarans. Go on.
Okay.
Go on.
Okay, up to others now.
Right, we've got 3 points there.
Well, only three?
Yeah, go on then. Reese, you want to have a go?
One of them is the Atraxi.
Yeah.
But that's all I know.
Kirby?
Did he say Sycorax or not?
He said Sycorax, yes.
Pardon? He doesn't say it, but there's a hoax.
Slower, Kirby. Slower.
No, doesn't say it. That's correct. It's got to be what he says.
Oh.
It's River says, actually. It's not what the Doctor, it's what River is saying. No answers?
I think that's all we've got.
Okay, right. This is what she says. Pteroleptil, Slitheen, Chilolian, Nestine, Draven, Sycorax, Homogoth, Zygon, Atraxi, Draconian. So you've got about half of them. And after that round, the scores are as follows. In last place with 3 points, Robert with 3. In second place with 4 points, Kirby with 4. And in the lead with 11 points, it's Reese. All right, next question.
Oh, my goodness.
Kirby.
Jeez.
Yes.
What, according to the Doctor, live on Hoppledom 6?
Oh, my goodness.
What?
I have besides
no, right. Anybody else like to come in with the answer?
Fruit flies.
I'll give you a point for that, even though I'd like a longer version of the answer, which is fruit flies that live for 20 minutes and don't even mate for life. Yes. Reese, this is
what?
That'll do. All right. Reese, this is your question. What colour scarf does Amy wear while under Stonehenge? In fact, through the whole episode, what colour is the scarf?
I know.
Red.
I know too.
No, it's Pantone 26. No, it says red, yes.
Oh, you're getting specific this time, are you?
Robert, this is your question. Robert?
Yes?
What, according to the Doctor, is it like being a Cyberman?
Ooh. Oh, I don't know.
Anybody else like to come in with the answer?
Please.
I don't know.
Anybody else?
I don't know.
Right, the answer is like being an organ donor except you're alive and screaming.
That's
funny.
And that was one of the sections that I had the subtitles on, but I didn't memorize it because it was 2 a.m.
Okay. Kirby, this is your question. Kirby!
Yes?
What does the cyber head say to Amy?
Oh.
You will be assimilated.
Is the correct answer.
Yay.
Yay.
We are the poor. Oh, wait, no.
Reese.
Yes.
Yes.
What is the last line of the Doctor's speech to the spaceships?
Oh, let somebody else try first.
It's a great answer. Robert.
I love that. I love that speech.
What is the Doctor not sure that history can take?
Oh. I know. Go on, Robert.
Amy and, what's the word? A battalion of Romans?
I'll give you that. It's Amy with Romans. Amy with Romans. No, Amy with Romans will do. That was the answer. Thank you. Right, after that round, in last place, we've got Robert with 3. In second place, we've got Kirby with 6. And in the lead with 17 points, it's Reese with 7. I just said
17. My goodness! 17 points! What?
Next question is for Kirby.
Does this mean that he's got the highest point? Points.
Well, more questions than normal.
That's the most I've heard.
Anyway, right. This is for Kirby. Kirby?
Yes.
What does Amy muse that Rory is short for in Roman terms?
Roranicus.
Right, point deducted from Robert.
Yeah.
And 2 points to Kirby.
I just threw it, sorry.
Next question's for Rhys.
Oh dear, yes.
What colour is Amy's nail varnish?
Grey colour, isn't it?
Nope.
Yes. I thought it was grey too.
Nope.
It's grey orange.
Blue?
It's orange. A point orange. To Kirby.
Really?
Yeah. Next question is for Robert. Where? Yes. What were Amy's last words?
Oh, I love you. I don't know.
Anybody else like to come in with the answer?
You are Rory, and you are staying, or you're here.
It is close enough. The answer was, this is you and you are staying. But that was close enough for me. Okay. And after that round, the current scores are in last place, Robert with 2. Second place, Kirby with 9. And in the lead with 18 points, it's Rhys. Kirby, this is your question.
Well done, Rhys. Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Kirby, are you ready?
Only if I'm not interrupted this time.
In the Big Bang, how many years later does the episode begin? In the Big Bang, how many years later does the episode begin?
Begin.
Just under 2000. I don't remember the exact
Not close enough. Not close enough. Reese?
1894.
Is the correct answer. Reese, this is your question.
Oh dear, yes.
What does Amelia thank Santa for?
Oh. I can't remember anything specific, but all the presents. Oh, no, wait, the doll? No, that's all I remember. Pass it on.
Anybody else?
The fish.
Oh, yeah.
The pencils.
And something.
Some other stuff.
Some other stuff.
Okay, well, I'll give Reese a point, and I'll give Kirby a point, because it was dolls, pencils, and fish. So you got one of the three each there, if you know what I mean.
Oh, well done.
I see two of them.
He said two of them.
Yeah. But it was Reese's question. So, only a point now. No.
Give him
2. No.
Okay.
I'll go on. Okay, right. Robert, this is your question.
Yes.
What is the name of Amelia's aunt?
Oh, bloody hell, I've forgotten that now.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
I can't remember. What was it?
I said it only about an hour ago.
I know. And I remembered it when I watched the episode too. Doesn't mean I remember it now. I've just gone blank.
Right, who wants to come in with the answer then?
Sharon. Aunt Sharon.
That's the correct answer. Right, then after that round, in last place with 2 points is Robert. In second place with 12 points is Kirby.
Surprise,
and in the lead with 20 points is Reese. Right. This next question is...
who do you think you are, Sylvester McCoy?
Kirby, this is for you. What is written on the post-it note stuck on the Pandorica?
Stick around, Pond.
Correct. Reese.
Yes.
What does Amy say when when the Pandorica opens?
All right, kids, this is where it gets complicated.
It's close enough. It's okay, kid. This is where things get complicated, but that would be cruel not to give you the points for that. Robert, this is your question. What does the Doctor say that provokes the Auton Rory to punch him?
I know.
You're not real? I don't know.
Go on, Reese.
It's something like the universe is ending, and that's more important than your...
Than Amy.
Not quite what I was looking for. No, the actual line
something
is...
Something like that.
Something like that, but not close enough. Your girlfriend isn't more important than the whole universe.
And then, she is to me!
Yes.
Yes.
Whack!
Right, Kirby, this is your question.
Yes?
What does the doctor say when Amelia asks for a drink?
I know.
Wait here.
You have fries with that?
Nope. Reese. Reese.
Mouths are getting a lot of action today or something like that?
Close enough. It's all mouths today, isn't it? Reese, okay. This is your question. How long do they have after the doctor dies?
12 minutes?
That's correct.
Let's just say 20, but 12.
Robert, this is your question.
Yes.
Who removes the fez from the doctor's head?
I think it was Amy.
That's correct answer.
I know, what's his name? Was. Jacked it. I mean,
and after that round, in the last place, we have Robert with 4. Second place, Kirby with 14. And in the lead with 25.
Oh, my goodness.
It's Reese. Right. Right, this is Kirby's question. How is the doctor going to save the universe?
By exploding the Pandorica and with the TARDIS.
That's fine for 2 o'clock in the morning.
I'll give you a point for that. Can anybody be a bit more specific as to how it's worded in the episode?
It was flying it into the.
All right, I've given you a point. Really, do I like to come up with something a bit more like what I've got on my iPad here?
Well, it's probably something like flying the Pandorica into the part of the exploding TARDIS, which will reset the universe.
No, it's fine. Yeah, there we are. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Sounds good enough to me.
Right, well, it is actually. I've given you a point, by the way, because you used one word in my answer, which was atoms, by using some of the original universe atoms saved in the Pandorica. Okay? No, you said atoms. That's fine. Right, this is your question, Reese.
Well done, Reese.
Oh, dear.
What burst does River use to kill the Dalek?
An alpha meson burst.
That's correct.
Oh my goodness.
Just one.
Robert, where had the doctor and Amy visited last week?
Oh, I can't remember. That was that scene where he was on the TARDIS, wasn't he? Watching himself. I can't remember.
I remember.
Okay, go on.
Give it to Kirby. I don't know.
Go on, Kirby.
Space Florida.
That's correct.
Yeah. I remember automatic sands. I didn't remember anything else.
Right. So, Kirby, this is your question. Why does the Doctor wish to skip the rest of the rewind?
It's boring.
Quite.
He hates repeats.
That is correct.
He hates repeats. Okay.
Right. This is Reese.
Yeah.
What is Amy's father's name?
Augustus Pond.
Correct. Robert.
Pond.
Robert.
Pond.
Robert.
Yes. Great, yes.
What does Rory say after saying, how could we forget the Doctor?
Oh, he knows.
I've forgotten, actually.
Oh, no, I know then.
John and Reese.
John Reese. You would know.
He was a stripper once.
Say that again.
He was a stripper.
That's not the answer. That's not exactly what he says. That's one of the words, phrases he says after. But the thing he says immediately after was, I was plastic.
Plastic, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Indicates the point. I didn't make drop while we were reviewing it, that because people sometimes thought he was still plastic after this episode, but that indicates quite clearly he's not plastic anymore. Because in that line, he was plastic. Right. Right, with a very handful of questions left, the current scores are in last place with 4 points is Robert. Second place with 16 points is Kirby. And in the lead with 31 points is Reese. This is Robert's question. Robert, it's Reese. Kirby, I'll get the names right in a minute. This is Kirby's question.
Reese.
Be quiet. What song is playing while the Dr. Dad dances?
Oh, I haven't the foggiest.
Crazy little thing.
Crazy little thing.
That's it, Robert gets the point there.
Okay. Although I said I know, but never mind.
No, it doesn't matter. You're going to deprive Robert of a point. I can always give it to you if you want to be that. If you want to feel that way, I can give that point to you if you like, Reese.
No, give it to him. He said it before I said it.
Even though he loves interrupting.
Yeah, I know. Right, Reese. Yes. Reese, this is your question. Yes. What does Rory hold while he and Amy slow dance? What is he holding?
Ooh, that's a bit rude.
Her shoes.
Yes, correct.
Red shoes.
Pardon?
Red shoes?
Yes, that's correct. Yes. Yeah. Robert, this is your question.
Yes, sir.
What does the doctor give to River?
Oh, I know.
When's this? At the end?
I know.
Yes.
Is it a diary, is it? Is it the diary?
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's not, quite the whole answer.
The vortex manipulator.
Point for the diary and a point for the vortex manipulator, yeah. Yes. Right, so that is more or less it, because I had a tiebreaker question, just in case. Tiebreaker?
A Tom Baker question.
I did have a tiebreaker question. But I'll give this out as a random free-for-all question. Remember, shout your name out first if you want to
answer. Your name out first.
Correctly.
Your name out first.
And not awkwardly. No. Right, this is the question. What is the Doctor, Amy and Rory's next unseen adventure?
Reese.
Go on, Em.
Finding an escaped Egyptian goddess on the Orient Express in space.
Is the correct answer. And the final scores of this week, she won't get this one. Goodness. And of course, Reese did get this one. Excuse me.
Had many more.
In last place, Robert with 6.
Many more.
In second place, with half nearly of the points Reese got, Kirby with 17. And the winner of this week, she won't get this one, is Reese with 35.
Now, are we going to have next week? Are you going to have Daphne have a quiz?
Possibly.
Have her answer some questions.
I might do that. Yeah. I might prepare some. If she says no, thank you, then obviously we'll have to accept that. But we could well do that.
Okay.
Right. So that's more or less it for this week. Unless anybody can sort of mention whowon.co.uk.
Which?
Who? Which?
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
It
could be
whowon.co.uk. It could be. It's whowon.co.uk.
Yes.
Is it?
Oh. Yeah, I was going to have a look, see what they've got on their fabulous website.
Adam, will the quiz be on next week?
Doctor Who.
Adam.
It'll be on the podcast.
Yeah. Don't know. I'll decide between now and then what the quiz will be on next week. Anyway, whowon.co.uk. Right, what we got? Latest products. We got the Fourth Doctor apron, which is priced at $10.99, which is basically an apron with the Fourth Doctor's costume. A bit like my T-shirt, but an apron.
Oh, yeah.
We've got
you watch the festival.
Yeah, the TARDIS retro bag, $19.99. We got the Doctor Who magazine, 461, with Daleks on the cover. Magazine. 10 Little Aliens, which is a book by Stephen Cole. It's a paperback. Oh. Dreams of Empires, which is a book by Justin Richards. Last of the Gadarene, which is a paperback book, in fact.
That's an old... I've read that, I think.
Mark Gatiss.
That's Mark Gatiss, yes. Mm. It's a territory adventure. It's quite good, that one.
We also have some Sonic Screwdrivers. We've got pre-order for the 10th Doctor, the 3rd Doctor and the 4th Doctor Sonic Screwdrivers. So I'm tempted at those quite reasonable prices of £10 each. So, yes, have a look at the whowon.co.uk website. Our illustrious sponsors. So that rather concludes this week's episode. Looking forward to next week because we've got Daphne back on the show, which then upgrades her from friend of the show to... I can't remember what Toby Haydock said the upgrade from friend was to now.
Me either.
I'm not, there were different levels of a kinship to the show. I'll try and work out what it is. Family member, isn't it? I suppose it got upgraded from friend to family member. So until next week, indeed. Thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
I'm not dead yet.
Podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk, and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.